great a gift it is to be able to talk about Jesus, to gather in his name and talk about the best gift ever. How many of you have read the Christmas story more than once or twice or lots of times, all right? Maybe every year that you've been alive, you've heard it a time or two. Well, this last Wednesday night, I had confirmation with my confirmation students, and we did a little bit of Christmas edition Bible trivia and asked them questions, and there were some things that just reminded me there are things that are in the Bible that maybe we think we know, but they're not necessarily there, like this true or false question. Mary rode a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. True or false? According to the scriptures, it doesn't mention a donkey. Could she have ridden a donkey? Yes, but according to the scripture, it's not there. How about this one? In all of the nativity and birth accounts of Jesus, Joseph never says a word. True or false? It's true. All right, the guy's silent. Okay, no words for Joseph. How about this one? An angel told both Mary and Joseph that the name of their baby boy should be Jesus. True or false? It's true. An angel told both of them that you will have a son and you are to give him the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves. And so as I think about this Christmas story, you know, I've been reading it and studying it this week, and it's so easy to skim over parts of this story because we've heard it time and time again. So I hope to highlight a few things that kind of stuck out to me that maybe can add some meaning to your Christmas celebration this year. When I think about Mary and Joseph, they traveled, you know, with Mary being great with child. And when they got to Bethlehem, there was no place for them, no place to stay, except for, where did they wind up staying? In a stable, right? In a place where there were animals. And that's where Jesus was born. Not at a hospital, not, you know, filled with lots of nurses, but in a barn, a stable with animals. But this was such a big deal that God wanted to share this good news. And so there were shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. And who did God send them? An angel, right? And the angel said, "Hey, shepherds, how are you doing?" And the shepherds say, "Hi, angel, we're doing great." That's not the way it went, all right? The angel shows up, and what is the shepherd's response? They were terrified. That struck me, you know, as I read this. You know, here we know the story. God is showing up. The angels are here. This is the coolest story ever. But what has happened to the angels or the shepherds? Their initial response is they are terrified. And I got to thinking of other times when God showed up in Scripture, when angels showed up, when people were brought before God in heaven, how often they were terrified as they stood in God's presence. Even the disciple John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, when he saw the throne of God in heaven, he fell over as if he were dead, right? And so sometimes I think when we think about Christmas, it's this beautiful story. But when God shows up, when we stand before God, and the truth is, we're all going to stand before God at one point or another, I think our initial response is going to be terror. Because God is so amazing, so awe-inspiring, so awe-full, so holy, that when we step into his presence, we'll be, whoa, terrified. But the angel wasn't done there. The angel said to the shepherds as they're hiding behind their biggest sheep, the angel said, "Don't be afraid." I love those words, "Don't be afraid." The angel knew what the shepherds were feeling. He knew what they were going through, and he said, "Don't be afraid." Because the angel was sent, "I have come to bring you good news of great joy. And if you've ever had anybody that brings good news to you, maybe they got engaged, maybe they're pregnant, maybe they got that promotion. Have you ever had somebody come and say, Tom, I got the best news. Can you believe it? And you know, you can't, all right? But you get anticipated, you get excited for them just because of their excitement. And I can imagine the angels just filled with this excitement that they get to share this news of good news of great what? Joy. Great what? Joy. Brian Black, where are you? He loves to sing our choir, and he makes sure that we say it with expressions. So can you say, joy?
Joy.
There we go. Almost one more time. Joy.
Joy.
Great news of great joy, which is for all the people. And this is what he says. Today, in the city of David, a Savior. Hear that? A Savior has been born for you, and he is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Something about this angel's message that kind of just, I think, goes over our head is, what did God send? He sent in this baby, a Savior. And I think we know the story. We know Jesus. But what exactly is a Savior? A Savior is someone who rescues us in a time of need, who saves us from something we cannot save ourselves from. For example, if you will, in your mind, think of being trapped in a house that is burning. Imagine if the smoke is just covering the ceiling, the flames are inching closer. You hear that the structure is starting to shift. You're so disoriented that you don't know which way is out. In your mind, you know you're done. But then through the door comes this firewoman, dressed in head to top and in yellow or fluorescent. And they see you with their light, and they give you oxygen, and they help, and they lead you out of that sure and certain death situation. For you in that fire, what was that fireman? Your Savior. You owe them your life. The truth about Christmas is that you and I are in a situation where we deserve nothing but death, because we have this awesome, perfect, and holy God. Nothing sinful can come into his presence. And as much as we have all the lights and the glamour and presents in Christmas, the Bible tells us a truth about ourselves is that when we're honest about our lives, that each one of us has a desire in us to not think of others, but just think of ourselves. That there are times when we hurt others with our words and our actions. And when we could help, we don't. In littles and big ways, we sin against God. And because of that sin, we deserve nothing from God but his wrath. And I know that's maybe offensive in today's world, but that's the truth, as the Bible tells us. That's our condition, that without a Savior, we stand convicted by God as guilty, judged worthy to die. But God said, I love the world too much. I love the world too much to let them die. And so I'm going to send them my son. I'm going to wrap my son in human flesh. He's going to empty himself of his glory and become a human born in a stable. He's going to live in a world where he experiences evil and death and temptation. But he brings my kingdom to this world of healing, of life, of power, of glory. But my son, Jesus, is rejected, nailed to a tree. And there on the tree, Jesus pays for the sins of the world. He becomes that sacrifice, that atonement that makes it possible that, forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ, which we receive by faith, by grace. It's a gift. We can stand before God as his forgiven people. Jesus came to be our Savior, to save us from our sin. And that's, as much as we look at this altar, we recognize that Jesus came to save you and I. And I love how the birth story goes, that then there was this great company of the heavenly host appearing with God, praising him and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them, gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go into Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off. They dropped everything. They left the sheep where they were at, and they went and they found Jesus there with Mary and Joseph. And I love this image of the shepherds. After the angels leave, it's like, "What do you think we should do? What should we do?" And they say, "Let's drop everything and go find Jesus." And I think that's part of what the Christmas story is, dropping everything so that we can have the best gift ever, Jesus. So I want to close today with a little illustration. And I need a helper. I need a volunteer, all right? I'm not going to make you stand or sit on this chair, but I need a volunteer, and I'd like it to be a kid, maybe. All right, a kid who is willing to come up, all right? Eli, you've got your hand up. I saw your hand up first, all right? So we're going to talk about dropping stuff. All right, come on over here. And I want you to hold something for me. I want you to put your hand in here if you can and pretend that you're trapped, all right? You can't pull your hand out. Oh, no, you're awful. Or you're stuck, all right? And so I found this really cool laser blaster, all right, in the nursery, okay? Can you hold that onto me? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, see the red light? That's so awesome. All right, so what I want you to do is you are holding onto that, and I want to give you a choice, all right? You can either hold onto that amazing laser blaster, or I've got this. Do you know what a gift card is? Do you know with Amazon, all right? This is a $30 Amazon gift card, all right? And I'm going to put it over here by Jesus, all right? And so I'm going to give you an option here. You can either hold onto that and take that home, or you can drop that, get free, and pick up the gift card. So I'm going to count to five. I don't want to rush you into thinking about which you'd rather have, all right? But think about which would you rather have, the awesome laser shooter thingamabopper, or the $30 Amazon card. All right, so I'm going to count to five, and you get to choose. One, two, three, four, five. All right. Thank you, Eli. Excellent job. Thank you. No, it's for you. Merry Christmas. All right. There you go. You're going to keep. I told you. You let that go. All right. You let that go, and it's still shining. So that's pretty cool, you know, but I think it's hard to let things go. Even that was pretty easy to know which is better. But sometimes in our lives, we hold on to stuff. All right. Sometimes we have things in our life. See if I can get my hand in there. That we don't want to let go of. Maybe there's something in our life that we need to. Maybe we're addicted to something and we say, I don't know if I can let go of that. God is saying, I've got the best gift for you. Just let go. I want to give this gift to you. Christmas is a great time to let go and have Jesus. Just let go and let God. Yeah, all right, sorry. My hand's not as small as Eli's. Or maybe what you're holding on to is you're holding on to accomplishments. Accomplishments. You're working so hard. You're putting everything into your work. And you're trying to, you know, get the accolades of people. Maybe impress your mom or your dad or somebody else. And you're working so hard to win other people's approval that you're missing out on what's most important in your life. There's no time for God. There's no time for church. You're working so hard. Tonight's a great night to let it go. Or maybe All right? There's a relationship, okay? Maybe there's a relationship in your life that you just need to let it go, all right? You know it's not good for you. You know it's not leading in the right direction. Maybe there's a relationship, all right, that you just have to let go. Because God has something better for you. All right, I think there's one more thing in here. All right, this isn't very big, but it's a car, all right? Maybe you're working for stuff. You're collecting and accumulating cars or boats, and this is what life means to you. The more that you have, the more you think that life is better. And God says, I've got something better for you than all of this stuff. This Christmas, let it go. This Christmas, let it go. Because God has for you the best gift ever. His Son, our Savior. And the amazing thing is sometimes when we let that stuff go and put Jesus first in our life, when we honor him and love him with our whole heart, strength, and mind, we get that stuff too, right? Seek first his kingdom and what? All these things will be added to you as well. But Jesus says, put me first. Drop everything. Worship me. This Christmas, may you find the best gift ever, not wrapped as a present under the tree, but born and placed in the stable, that you may worship him, Jesus Christ, the King, your Savior. Amen. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ. He is truly the best gift ever. There are so many things in this world that we long for, we live for, but Lord, none of it matters without Jesus. Help us this Christmas season to remember the greatest gift ever given, your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us reorient our lives through being in your word, through worship and prayer. Lord, you're calling us to come and worship this newborn king. Enable us by your Holy Spirit to let go. Maybe it's letting go of anger. Maybe it's letting go of a grudge. Maybe it's letting go of an addiction or a problem or seeking help. Lord, help us each in our own way to come to you, to lay it all at the foot of this baby, knowing that you have come to set us free. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.